Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
And our guest speaker today, our associate pastor, a great friend, great scholar, and teacher of the Word of God, Myron Gall.
Today I want to take some time to let you get to know me a little bit. Most of you know that I'm a medical doctor, I also am a chiropractor, and I have a beautiful wife. But other than that, you really don't know that much about me. How many of you know that I'm a Canadian? Pretty good. How many of you know what the difference is between Canadians and Americans as far as humor is concerned? What happens is, you see, there's a difference in the way Canadians see humor and the way Americans see humor. The Canadians are like the British. The humor is dark and based on sarcasm and irony, whereas American humor is lighter, relies more on delivery and on the punchline, where in Canadian humor, the punchline is everything. The delivery means nothing. So let me give you an example. The other day, someone came up to me and said, my grandfather died peacefully in his sleep, not screaming like the passengers in his car. That's Canadian humor. And here's another one. A fella came up to me and said, you know, it's possible to be able to determine for sure who loves you more, your dog or your wife. He said, all you have to do is put the dog and your wife in the trunk of your car for an hour. And when you open it, which one is happy to see you? Today, I'd like to share a little bit of what it meant to me to be a Canadian as a young boy. I was born and raised in the early part of my life at 536 Irvine. It'll soon become as familiar to you as Ruth Street. I was born in Grace Hospital. I weighed 3 pounds, 2 ounces. Okay? And my mother loved me nonetheless. And what you have to understand is that what people 70 years ago used to think about the United States and still do in many parts of the country, how wonderful this country really is. When I was a boy, my uncle, Merle, used to come over at the Thanksgiving and at Easter. And at Easter, he brought an Easter basket. Now, I'd never seen an Easter basket before. We always had Easter candy, and we had bunny rabbits that were hollow, just a shell, nothing inside. And my uncle Merle used to bring a basket that had a bunny that was almost 6 inches tall, solid chocolate. Well, I loved him from that day on. And he also told me that in America, people at that time, 70 years ago, had ice cream in their freezers at home. I didn't know one Canadian that had ice cream in their freezers at home. Had no idea. And you know what? I thought, boy, no Canadians I ever knew had ice cream in their freezers at home. We used to go twice a month to the ice cream shop. And I thought, boy, if Americans all have ice cream in their freezers at home, no wonder everybody wants to go to America. This is a great country. This is a marvelous country. And I want to tell you why. It's a country of opportunity. When my Uncle Merle came over to my house, I was only 4 years old the first time. And he loved me because I was the only nephew. They didn't have any young children at all. And they didn't have children till later on in life. So when he came by, he told me this story. He, for many years, couldn't find a job. Those were the years from 1972 to 1992. And Mayor Coleman Young was the mayor of Detroit. How many remember Mayor Coleman Young? He was kind of the godfather of politics at the time. And here's what my uncle did. He couldn't find a job. So what he did is he went to Mayor Coleman Young's home, and he knocked on the door. And Mayor Coleman Young answered the door. And he said, Mr. Mayor, he said, I've been trying to find a job for almost a year, and I'm a good worker. I just can't find a job. He said, I'm not going to ask you to give me a job. Can I use your name as a reference? And Coleman Young said, yes, you can. And he got a job within the week. Who do you go to when you need help? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity. We're thankful that you gave us the Word of God. We're thankful that there's much for us to learn. But we're thankful that we know where we can go and who can help us in time of need. We pray you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I'm going to give you some background. To get the background for this, you have to read verses 25 through 27 of Matthew 11. So I'm going to read verses 25 through 27 in chapter 11. At this time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So the truth of God is hidden from the wise. Now, the wise in this case refers to the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a group of Jewish leaders in the Sanhedrin who were Hellenists. They were Greek philosophers, and they based all their wisdom on the wisdom of the Greeks. The Pharisees were Bible scholars. You see, they were the wise, and they were also the, it says here, learned. The Pharisees knew the Bible. The Pharisees memorized the first five books of the Bible, word perfect. They knew most of the Old Testament. You see, they knew all about the Bible, but they didn't necessarily know the Lord. Let me give you an example. Bible knowledge is important. There's no question. You get some insights into life. It can give you knowledge about God, but the Pharisees were ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. And as important as Bible knowledge is, Bible knowledge can lead you to a knowledge of the truth, but cannot bring you peace. Philosophy can give you some interesting answers to the questions in life, but it cannot bring you peace. What are you searching for? In philosophy, God's not there. Mm-mm. Of course, in the scriptures, he's there, but many people miss finding him. None of you have more knowledge than the Pharisees. I know people who study the Bible. I study it every day. I know people who study it all the time. And I also know people that they study and study and study. The Pharisees studied and studied and studied. Liberal pastors study and study and study. It's all about God, but it doesn't mean they know God. So philosophy, God's not there. Bible knowledge by itself, you can miss him. You can't see God in, you can see the effects of God in nature, but you can't see God in nature. He's not there. Okay? You can stop searching for God when you come to Jesus. Here's what Jesus says. Come unto me, all you who are weary. Are you weary? Are you tired of it all? Are you exhausted? You can't take it anymore? You've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and it doesn't seem to work. There doesn't seem to be any changes. Are you weary? Well, Jesus said he reveals these things not to the wise, not to the learned, but to little children. What's he mean he reveals knowledge of God the Father not to the wise, not to the learned, but to little children? Well, you see, not everybody can be a scholar. Not everybody can be learned and a philosopher. But everybody can humble themselves like a child. And God resists the proud and gives patience to the humble. Do you understand? Spurgeon said you always keep the cookies on the lower shelf so the children can reach them. All of us have the ability to simplify our lives and become like little children. And Jesus makes himself available to that kind of research. You ought to talk to children sometime. It's interesting. One Sunday school teacher asked the class, what do you have to do to get to heaven? If you clean your room, do you get to heaven? No. If you obey your parents, do you get to heaven? No. If you do good things, do you get to heaven? No. If you go to Sunday school, do you get to heaven? No. If you go to church, do you get to heaven? No. If you go to youth group, do you get to heaven? No. If you go to Wednesday night Bible study, do you get to heaven? No. If you're good, do you get to heaven? No. So the teacher said, what do you do? What do you have to do to get to heaven? And one little kid said, you have to be dead. You see, the joys of heaven are for today, not for tomorrow. The joy of heaven is for today. The Bible wasn't written for us to pay attention to in eternity. It was written for today. What do you need a Bible in heaven for? You've got the Word. What do you need a Bible in heaven for? You've already got Jesus there. You've got the Word of God Himself there. The Bible is God's instruction to help show us what He's like and who He is and how much He loves you. For the central message of the Bible is, for God so loved the world that He gave His especially beloved Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I've had more than one person to me say to me, I believe. Well, that's good, but believing doesn't save you. You say, what? Believing doesn't save you. What? Devils believe and tremble. The Bible says, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Do you see? It's receiving Christ that makes the difference. I've used this illustration. You've heard me say it many times. If you had medicine and you knew it worked, and you said, do you believe this medicine will work? It'll help you. And you say, yes. And I'll say, good, you believe that, but it won't help you unless you take it inside. You've got to take the medicine inside. It doesn't matter what you believe. It works from the inside. You have to receive Christ inside. He works from the inside. That's the whole thing. Well, Jesus Christ is able and willing to reveal to those who are humble, childlike, the Father. Now, wait a minute. How is it possible? The Bible teaches that God the Father is a person, but He's an invisible person. Well, what's the definition of a person? I can give you all kinds of definitions of a person, but let me say this very simply. You're a person, and you know what that means. Do you notice you never call a dog a person, or a cat a person, or a bird a person, or a fish a person? You're a person, but like me, I'm a person, but I'm invisible. You can't see me. I live inside this body. I have to reveal myself to you. Now, I could stand here and say, well, without saying a word, you'd make many judgments about me. You'd say, boy, he's short. Don't you talk about my weight. You could draw all kinds of false conclusions about me. The only way you would ever get to know me is if I revealed myself to you. So I reveal myself to you by talking about my life, by demonstrating some of the things I do, maybe showing you some of the things I've written. But God reveals Himself by the things He has done, by the book He's written, and by His Son. You see? That's how you get to know God, through the Son. Nature can tell you about a lot about God. He's an artist. He's amazing. He's interesting. But it cannot reveal His identity. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now look, when you're worried, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye who are weary. Are you tired? I said it before. Are you really weary? Are you worried about your job and you're worried about praying about your job? Are you worried about your children and what's happening to them even though they're 40 years old now? Are you worried? Worry, worry everywhere, but not a place to rest. Worry. You know how worry is? Worry is like watching a pot boil. The pot begins, as it heats, to release bubbles. And then the bubbles begin to roll. It's called a rolling boil. And then the bubbles suddenly begin to release steam. Have you reached the boiling point? Have you reached the boiling point? You're just bubbling. Is the bubbling beginning to build up? Do you have anger? You're about ready to explode? Are you? No. Listen, many people are trying to lift more than they can carry. Did you know that? Many people are trying to lift more than they can carry. I remember watching a neighbor who was helping his parents load stuff into the car to go to Disney World. And they were bringing packages. And there was this one suitcase that was really big. And this little 9-year-old wanted to put it in the car for his dad. And he couldn't lift it. He was trying to lift more than he could carry. So his father said, listen, let's do it together. So the little boy joined, And he and the Father did it together. Why don't you let the Father do it with you? Why don't you let him do it with you? One of the things that I find absolutely astounding is I've said to people, look, you don't believe there's a God? Ask him. What? Ask him. What? You go to philosophers, you go to your friends, you go to psychiatrists, you go to your counselors, you go, and that's all good. That's good stuff. But why don't you ask him? One of the things that I found was astounding when you ask him, Julie lost her daughter, and her granddaughter was very, very upset about the loss of her mother. And she knew her mother was going to heaven. That wasn't the problem, but she just couldn't get any peace over it. She just couldn't relax with it. She just had restless nights. She knew that her mom was okay. She was in heaven, but somehow that didn't put her mind at ease. And one day she was in a store, and she was waiting in line, and this woman in front of her paid the bill, walked out of the store, and suddenly came back. And she said, excuse me, you're going to find this odd. She said, but the Lord has impressed me to come back and give you a hug. And he told me to tell you that it's a mother's hug. Whoa, that's all the assurance she needed. A mother's hug. This life was meant to be an adventure, not a punishment. Don't do that to yourself. Jesus loves you abundantly. He's present to help you in your life. He wants to be there for every moment. Why don't you give him the opportunity? Sometimes the last place we go is to the Lord. Now, what happens? And I'm all for doctors. I am one. I think if you need a doctor, you go to a doctor. If you need a counselor, you go to a counselor. If you need medication, you get medication. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But it seems to me that that's usually the last place we go is prayer. God is always our last choice. Pray before you go. Ask the Lord to take care of you before you go. And then you know it's in his hands. So you know that if the doctor is treating you, the Lord is in control and guiding him. I remember talking to John Vandermeer. And John Vandermeer was, at that time, about 80 plus. And he was a stubborn Dutchman. And he threw people out of his house for preaching the gospel. So he was going into the hospital to have his gallbladder removed. And somebody asked me if I would go and speak with him. And I said, well, I will. So I went and I said, John, I'm here to speak with you and to pray with you. Yeah? What for? I said, because somebody asked me to come and pray with you. Oh. I said, John, listen, no matter what you believe, prayer can't hurt. You got that right. Yeah, you got that right. It can't hurt nothing. So I said, okay, John, I'm going to pray. And I said, dear Lord, I want you to protect John. I want you to make sure he survives the surgery. It's routine surgery, but nothing's routine in itself. I'm asking you to be with him and bring him through it whole. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And then we went out in the hall to meet his surgeon. And I said, excuse me, sir. He said, I would like to have a prayer with you, doctor, if you don't mind. And I said, dear Lord, I thank you for this wonderful doctor, and you've given him great skills. And I pray that you would be with him and guide him as he gives his special gift to the healing of my dear friend John. When he came out, he said to me, I got to tell you something. He said, we almost lost John. He almost didn't make it. But suddenly he said, I just had this sense of things. And he said, I took control of it. And he said, he pulled through, which would normally be routine, wasn't. He said, he made it. So when John came out and the surgeon told him that, John said, what do I have to do to get saved? I said, well, John, you have to receive. So we prayed a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And John was saying, got that right. I said, Lord, I know we all need forgiveness. Got that right. I said, Lord, I believe that you died for my sin. He said, I hope that's right. He said, I believe that you were raised from the dead. And he prayed the prayer with me. And he said, okay. He said, that's wonderful. He said, now, what do I do next? I said, well, that's all you have to do to be saved. He said, well, what's this baptism stuff? I said, well, baptism is just an indication that you've already received Christ and you're ready now to give your testimony before the world that you have received Christ and that he died and was buried and raised from the dead for you on your behalf. It's just a way of making a commitment. He said, we go all the way. We're going all the way, he said. None of that. He said, all the way. And he did this, you know, all the way. He was a dear friend. Let me tell you something. When you come to Christ, you go all the way. There's nothing more you can do to know the Father than to come to Christ. Do you understand? You got to know that. Why? Because in Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus was God in the flesh. God became a man in Christ. You see, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That's the only way. There is no other way. Why? Because he and the Father are one. There you go. I'm going to tell you what I think is a very touching story about animals. I think animals are God's special gift to us. And there's no doubt in my mind about that. And this is a true story. I heard from a friend that he was a hunter, and he loved to hunt big game, deer in particular. And he said, rather than sit up on a tree stand, he would prefer to stand at the end of a game trail, and his buddies would drive the game toward him. And he said he was standing at the end of a trail one day, he said, and all of a sudden, bursting out of the underbrush, came this rabbit. And it ran and sat between his feet. He said, what? A few seconds later, out of the underbrush came a weasel. And the weasel was hot on the trail of that rabbit. And that rabbit was totally exhausted and couldn't go any further. So it stood and sat between his feet. And he said he took his rifle and he shot into the ground in front of the weasel because the weasel went like most weasels do. He said, and the weasel retreated. The rabbit sat for a few seconds, got its breath, and left. Where do you go when you need refuge? Where do you go? Where do you go? David, when he was deeply distressed, said, I'm in a bottomless pit, and you have raised me from the pit and placed me upon a rock. Where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you go? That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, we all know the story of the yoke and how the yoke, young cow was, or cattle were limped to an older oxen or whatever it is, and the older oxen trained the younger one. No, Jesus said, you take my yoke. I've got all the burdens. I've got all the burdens. I did everything for you that needs to be done. Why don't you let me do it? Have you ever seen the little children who say, I'll do it. I'll do it my way. That's not the kind of little child that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the little child that opens its arms and absolutely, without question, without hesitation, rushes into the arms of Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? It's so precious to understand. You see, one closing illustration. I told this before. There was a nurse and her husband who were trying to tell their two-year-old, explain that she was going to have a baby brother. And after a while, the baby brother was brought home. And the first thing the little two-year-old girl says, Mommy, I want to see my baby brother all by myself. And they heard how sometimes two-year-olds can be pretty aggressive with newborns. And they didn't know, should they do that? And she insisted, no, no, Mom, Dad, I want to see my newborn baby by itself. And the mother and dad were still a little leery because this was an only child and she was insisting that she see the baby in its crib all by herself. So finally they decided, well, what they'd do is they'd let her go into the crib, to the crib, and they'd leave the door cracked open. And this is what the little girl said. Baby brother, tell me about God. I'm beginning to forget. You remember how it was? See, children have to be taught not to believe. And you realize most of your life you've been taught not to believe? You've been taught to go here and go there, and go here, and go there, and go here, and go there. When you should have been taught to go to the Lord first, and he'll guide you there, and there, and there. Except you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We have all of the glories of heaven at our disposal today. Are you ready? On your mark, get set. Go to the Lord. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, there's no better place to go for rest than to you. Father, burdens are too heavy for us to lift. Worries are too tiring for us to be concerned about. Father, it's not that we're not responsible. It means responsibility means you give us the ability to respond to you. So I pray you'd be with everyone here. Someone here is searching for answers to find God. Go to Christ. He'll show you. He'll reveal the Father to you. You've gone everywhere else. He can't hurt. Do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.